For the week ending November 23rd, 2012, we're talking about the Wii U launch, Call of Duty Black Ops Zombies mode, and Planetside 2. Welcome to the Second Level. This is Cole Ross.
This is Dennis Furia.
David Moneysmith.
And Ben Merkel.
And this is The Level, a show for people who love video games. It is the week of, let me look here, I don't know. It's the day after Thanksgiving for you, but it is the 20th, my birthday for me. The Level for, you know, I said all that at the beginning. Don't worry. Don't worry, it's all here. But what matters is I am one year closer to death, so that's cool.
I think of it as 1 year further from birth.
But you're
which I mean death, birth, both, you know, horrible traumatic experiences, and so yeah. I like to think of removing myself from the first one.
You know what, I entered this world slimy, naked and screaming, and by God I'm gonna leave the world the same way.
so you know death,
so you're
death
going
is a little
to
better.
Die via like Japanese porn.
Jesus, you had to take it there. You had to take it there and now I have to change my plan. So okay, so it's time for the brief. Did you guys bring any news to the table here?
I have one thing. I don't know how much news it is, but it's an exciting thing.
Okay, cool. Go ahead. Shoot.
I noticed that Indie Game the Movie is now up on Netflix.
Oh yeah, that's the one with the Super Meat Boy guys, and was Jonathan Blow in that?
Jonathan Blow was in it, and they also followed the guys behind Fez. And really it focuses on Fez and Super Meat Boy, because those are kind of the two sets of people kind of just trying to make it, whereas Jonathan Blow, he's almost like the wizened old man who's giving advice, or, you know, he's the guy who's already made it.
The wizened old man who has put out one game.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure he's been responsible for other games, but
yeah. But you know, he kind of drops in every now and again and kind of talks about the more heady side of things, whereas the arc of the movie, or the documentary, I guess, follows the Fez people and the Super Meat Boy people as they kind of work to get their games out. So have you watched that yet?
No, I haven't. It's one of those ones that I was aware of because it was making the rounds on the blogs mm-hmm. around the time that it came out. I'm interested in it just because that's one of the few times where the personalities behind a game really kind of matter. I mean, they matter. I mean, obviously a game, you know, games are collaborative efforts. There are people behind them. Certainly, mm-hmm. even at big studios, there are auteurs, but these are, you know, they get a lot of their panache, a lot of their appeal from the fact that they are singular expressions by these people. So I'm kind of interested to see them, you know, tear each other apart.
Yeah. So basically, the wizened old man says that in a more wizened old man form at the beginning and end of the movie. So that's very much the theme of the movie, is that, you know, the mainstream games are very polished experiences, but it's just that it's polished. It's polished. It's been softened. It's been, you know, you take away all those rough edges or vulnerabilities that give you insight into who made the game.
Yeah, it's been compromised.
And it's just. Yeah, it's just great. So I don't know how long it's been on Netflix. If it's, I feel like it's a relatively new ad because I've looked in the documentary section before and haven't seen it. And so I think it's relatively fresh. But get on that, watch it. It'll make you laugh, make you cry, make you want to go out and buy Fez and buy Super Fez. Meat Boy if you haven't already.
Yeah,
is Fez part of the Indie Games bundle?
No, Fez is very much like right now solely an Xbox thing.
Okay.
Like, let's just say not yet.
Yeah, not yet. There's functionality built into it. There are codes and things like that that are specific to. I don't want to spoil anything, but that are specific to Xbox hardware. If that mm-hmm. makes any sense, without getting any more vague. So like transfer, like it could go to PC just fine if somebody was using an Xbox 360 controller, which is the de facto controller for PC now. Mm-hmm. But as far as like PlayStation, not yet. I also think it was funded in part by Microsoft as part of their thing, so there might be a certain exclusivity agreement. This is me telling tales out of school, talking out of my ass, whatever you'd like to, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, I think the guy was out of Canada, And I know he was working on a grant, but it never said where that grant was coming from. The other interesting thing is at least the people behind Super Meat Boy, there are some parts of the film that portray Xbox Microsoft in a very negative light. Just kind of some things that happened on launch day that kind of created a lot of drama, we'll say.
Yeah.
Either Microsoft, so it wasn't like they intentionally cut themselves out of the production of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they would have mentioned if they were working on that grant, but who knows? But I'd be excited for Fez to come to a platform where I could play it because it looks absolutely delightful, especially now that I know. Some of the thought behind it and learning more about the artist, but just know how much work went into it.
Yeah. I have this kind of conflicted thing with like documentaries about video games and stuff. The ones that are out are really good. Mm-hmm. Like, The King of Kong, obviously, that's a fantastic movie. There's one that I've been meaning to see, but it doesn't have any distribution outside of like, outside of their website, but it's called Get Lamp. It's about text adventures.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
And like the boom and ebbing of that as it got popular and then kind of faded away into indie circles. There's another one called I think that it is on Netflix. It's called The Ecstasy of Order, which is about Tetris and Tetris the game itself and also people who go after like Tetris high scores,
like the cult around it or whatever.
Yeah and that's really interesting to me, but that's like a trifecta of things. You can't make a documentary about a thing, or you can, but it's really difficult. It has to be about the people. And there are any number of like special edition behind the scenes documentary making of that just kind of serve to be like, and here's a wireframe of the Covenant Elite. Isn't that awesome? This is the team shooting Nerf guns at each other from their cubicle because they're wacky nerd fellas. Can we capture that wacky nerd fellas as a webcomic idea?
I think that's XKCD.
I think that's been done.
Can I sit on a couch? No. So it's
well, that's Penny Arcade.
But it's just one of those things. I'm glad it's a market that's not like saturated. Would I like to see like a documentary about the making of Myst? Yes.
I thought Myst was a documentary, the making of Myst.
Maybe. I don't know. I have the guide for the complete Chronicles guide for Myst Uru has like a behind the scene a full color origin story for the entire series with like pictures of their studio and stuff like that. I don't know.
Nice.
But yeah, that's a good catch.
Go ahead.
I really hope that Indie Game the movie gets a video game tie-in. That would make the day.
Oh, kind of like Street Fighter in the movie, the game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just pour horrible, horrible amounts of angst and working hours into the developers until they crack.
And then they can make a documentary about the making of the game. And then the game about the making of the documentary about the game. Oh man,
it's like the Mr. Show. Way down.
I think we
signed
just
Charlie Kaufman on for all of it.
I think we just figured out what The Witness is really about. No. That's what's in the middle of the Curiosity Cube.
Oh, gosh. The meaning of The Witness? When the hell is that game coming out?
I thought it was out.
The Witness or Curiosity?
No, I'd be balls deep in that by now.
Ooh, as no. of,
really?
As
in graphic?
At the end of the movie, they mention it, and they say it was slated for 2012, but they don't say when, and knowing that the movie was made... what, about 3 months ago? It's almost certain that it's been delayed since then.
Yeah.
So.
He'll put it out when he's damn all ready to.
Basically.
That's basically the only thing you can count on in this world.
Are we talking about Jonathan Curiosity, Bloom? What's inside the cube?
No, we're talking about The Witness. Curiosity is out, but nobody would know because you can't play it because there are no servers.
They fixed it.
Did they?
You can play it on Android. Yeah, I thought they had all of it fixed.
Oh, cool. Good for them. I saw they put out an update, but by that point I was,
Yeah. Welcome to the mobile games market.
Like
you mentioned documentaries that are really good, and this is very pseudo tangentially related, but I also watched Special When Lit, which is a pinball documentary.
Oh yeah.
Which that goes kind of it is very focused on like the culture around pinball and everything like that, which was interesting. Not necessarily games, but found in the same places as games. So that was really cool.
They should make a documentary about video game podcasters. It'd be a lot of sitting still,
yeah,
and that being punctuated by very brief periods of intense movement.
See, I'd have to put on clothes though, yeah, if they're going to film podcasting.
Oh, for my birthday, I bought myself 3 brand new black American Apparel T-shirts, 100% cotton, yo, pre-shrunk.
You're really a risk taker. You know that.
You're really stretching out this year.
The more I can control, the better. So, speaking of control, do you want to know what Nintendo lost control of?
What?
Their system launch. Oh man, all these news stories. It's like it's like death by a thousand cuts. They're just gonna, you know, they're just gonna hang you up and they just cut off, you know, a finger at one knuckle, then one knuckle down. It's everybody gets a whack.
It's death. Wait, by how a thousand
is
mediocre.
How
is a video game console launch related to ancient Chinese torture?
No, I was going to say, how is Nintendo screws over early adopters of its hardware news?
Well, you know, it's just one of those things. So I've got a gaggle of stories up here. Apparently, the patch to take the system online was 5 gigabytes. Took about an hour to download, and if you interrupted the download, it would brick your system.
Oh, really?
So,
not just like you have to start over.
Like it would make it so the system was not responsive.
Yeah, the system was a paperweight.
The system is down?
You're going to make me... okay, I know what the title is on that one, so I can search for it. On the Homestar Wiki, don't worry. apparently, the process to get your Wii content over to your Wii U, like, you know, like your virtual console games Nintendo eShop games over to it. It's like really, really convoluted, and it requires like putting account data on an SD card and putting it over and Noah's arcing it. It's really, really complicated. To that, I say we should be happy that they're not making us rebuy the Mario games for NES.
What does Noah's arcing it mean?
Oh, it's like SneakerNet. It's where you load everything up from one computer onto a device and carry it over to another.
How's that? What's that have to do with Noah's Ark, though?
Well,
because God was like, "Hey, I don't like this old world, but of these animals pass me, so I'm just gonna port them over to the old world. Can you help me with that,
Noah?" Here's the thing: all data is represented by two things, ones and zeros, and you put them on there, and they screw, and then it makes more data, and then you get Super Metroid on your Wii U.
Have you seen the Bots and the Bees episode of Futurama?
Yes,
because insert video clip of that then.
This is quite possibly my favorite description of Noah's Ark / data theory / the sneaker net.
I have 1 year of computer science under my belt, and I'm going to use it, damn it.
What we're saying is that the flood is the world's first system wipe.
Exactly. Oh, man, got a nuke and pave. There was also the whole matter of, like, you know, they're trying to position this as a media system, which is, you know, it's cool. You have a device with two screens, and that screen on that controller, actually kind of cool. Like, I was surprised. Really, when I touched it and played with it, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But you know, it's like I'd like to watch Netflix on my thing. Netflix apparently works, but it doesn't take advantage of any of the functionality of the system. And like Nintendo's TV with VII isn't going to be out till December. I guess and the Hulu and the Amazon Instant Video, are like they're going to be coming out in like the next couple of weeks. Oh, like Netflix isn't even on there yet. So
what you're saying with media system is hopefully one day we'll have media system.
Yes.
I saw the stupidest review. I forget which website it was on, but it said, you know, the Wii U includes the TV and Netflix systems, which will be downloadable in about a month.
Yeah.
Reed includes does not include.
Includes 4 controllers. extra three controllers sold separately.
Yeah. like that's, I'm pretty sure that's a pretty clear line between includes and doesn't include.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that sounds like exactly like how I would implement something in software.
Patch it later. Well, like the whole like let's patch in stuff on day one. Like that is something we're going to have to come to expect. That is a fact of life now. You know, we can be as upset about it as we want, but you know, the fact that they have the luxury there, you know, a day one patch for a system, this is just the, you know, the vanguard for the coming age of, you know, this dumb box that is, you know, like is basically nothing but something for an Ethernet cord to plug into. You know,
although it's one of those things where, you know, there's still the rules and everyone knows when you're abusing it. You know what I mean? Like this situation.
I suppose.
You know, everyone knows the difference between like when I you know go to you know get a game for PS3, I expect to have to download some update. But there's a difference between that and like a however many hour update, yeah.
There's a difference between that and Skyrim.
What was with Skyrim?
clarify that, please.
The horrible game-breaking bugs that they still have yet to figure out.
Yeah, if you own Skyrim on the PlayStation 3, I am so sorry for you and your family. It must be difficult. Do you want some canned food? I can make you a casserole.
I played through that game from start to finish. And there were not that many bugs.
Well, I need somebody to have, like, take this casserole from me. Like, so do you want this casserole, Ben? No, I'm more sorry. Like, for you know, the bugs, that sucks for people who get to them. I never had problems with Fallout New Vegas. People said that was buggy. I didn't encounter that any more than usual in a Bethesda game. But I'm more sorry because you. It's a useful caveat to have in your back pocket there.
Do you mean an Obsidian game?
Oh, yep, there we go. It works both ways. No, but just more for the fact that you're never going to get the expansions.
Yeah, that's pretty much a lost cause.
Or the DLC, you know. It's user content. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Or a playable game.
All these things. Ouch.
You'll never get the Macho Man as the dragons.
Or the My Little Pony dragons burn in hell.
from Portal.
The dude? Oh, yeah, Wheatley. They had Wheatley.
Oh, I was going to say the only dude I could have thought of is Cave Johnson.
I'm done here. So, yeah.
I was going to say, though, none of these day one patches can possibly be worse than what they used to make you do for Half-Life 2.
Which was?
Re-download the entire thing.
Oof. Yeah, you install it on your computer, start up Steam, and it re-downloads it.
Yeah.
Good.
Those were rough days in the beginning, but thankfully Steam is like the last glimmering light of hope for us as a species, I think. So yeah.
Question for you, Cole. Maybe not related, but I have a ton of stuff from Humble Indie Bundle that I'm currently unable to play because my computer basically is a malfunctioning piece of crap. I suspect strongly that will be rectified with Christmas.
Oh.
Can you get those games on a Mac?
Yes, you can. All Humble Indie Bundle games will play on a Mac.
Woohoo! All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure that's going to be the specific form of
yes.
What my...
Yes, I grow stronger. I grow stronger. Do what must be done.
Anyway, I've gotten the inkling that might be headed my way. Cool. We'll see. It might be a Christmas thing, might be a birthday thing. We'll see. But yeah. I was curious to know if that would then open up. That is, to play those games.
That is one of the beautiful things. Like there are games that made their Mac and Linux debut on the Humble Bundle, so everything will run on everything. So I need to buy those games because yeah. I haven't bought this. I already own most of them because they've appeared in other places or I've bought them. But like another chance to like support the people who make Machinarium. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
God, I love that game. So anyway,
I just wish they'd release some non-puzzle indie games.
Oh, there are plenty of like action games. Well, we might as well make this a thing, because I think people will still get a chance to, you know, to download this. I think it goes up through the day this releases. So if you're listening to this on Friday, thank you. excuse me, way of the future. Let's see here. Like Waking Mars is kind of an action game. I think Splice is. Euphoria, a little bit of a puzzler. Cannibalt. I think Abaddon is like a role playing game kind of thing.
Is Shank counts as an action game?
Yeah, oh, yeah,
yeah. That's a great action game.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's
there,
like
there's
2D Devil May Cry.
Yeah. Is that indie? Is that considered indie?
It was in a humble indie bundle, so therefore, why don't we just say this? It ends in you would have had a chance to get Splice, Euphoria, Waking Mars, Machinarium, Crayon, Super Brothers, Swords and Sorcery, Abaddon the Black Fortress, Cannibalt, Cogs, Swords and Soldiers HD, and Zenbound 2. But I believe it expires on Thanksgiving. There's going to be enough stuff for you to spend on your, you know, like on Black Friday and stuff, you know?
On Steam Day.
Yeah, on Steam Day, which starts tomorrow or this past Wednesday. Man, this Time Warp stuff is really, really disorienting. I'm so sorry.
But, yeah, it's like we're playing Braid.
Yeah, just a little bit. There's a deal on GOG through the weekend where you can buy a bunch of really good games. Like, you buy five and you get them for like $10. So it's essentially $2 a game, and there's some stuff on there that you wouldn't be able to get for that cheap otherwise. So this is a devastating time, but you know, it's fun to buy yourself things. Yeah.
So sorry, complete tangent.
No, that is perfectly fine. That will count as another news story. I'm going to put that there. Buy things during the winter months.
Yes. Online.
It's the way to go, man. It's the way to go. I am rejoicing. This is the first Black Friday in 8 years. Yes, in 8 years that I haven't had to work GameStop.
Oh,
on Black Friday. I know, right? Like, if I can help it, I'm not going to leave this goddamn house.
What you should do is set your alarm for like 3 a.m. or whenever you would normally have to get up, and then go back to sleep.
Am I the only one that does that?
Like, oh no, I snooze hardcore.
No, I can just wake up. I'll be at home and my GameStop name tag is still hanging on the inside of my bedroom doorknob because I have attachment issues. I'll just wake up and I'll give it the double bird, just and then just go back to sleep.
Two fist it.
I will give it the double deuce so hard that I will actually need to fall asleep to recover.
You faint.
So, can we get an upload of a picture on our Facebook page with you giving a double bird to your GameStop name tag?
It'll be hard to take a picture of myself doing that, and I only have my family here. I do not want to double bird in their presence. So
when you figure out how to take the picture, I want to see like a vein in your forehead about to pop out of
yeah. I want for people on Facebook to express concern. but yeah, it is so funny. When I went in to try out the Wii U at a unnamed retail game establishment, okay, GameStop.
let's just get that on the table.
Yeah,
let's has nothing to do with what we were talking about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
As opposed to all those other game establishments that are thriving.
Jim's Game Shack, yeah. When I went in there, you know, I was playing it, and like the dude was saying, oh yeah, man, you can't get one of these. Like, we're all booked up through like February. Like, every shipment is spoken for. I'm like, awesome, dude, great. I'm sure that you can like hop on Amazon at like 3 a.m. one day and just like get one, and it'll be shipped to your house, and it'll be like awesome. And you can use our, you know, coupon code because you're doing your holiday shipping, you know, duckfeed.tv/ tip jar. And like, we'll get a kickback. Awesome.
Nice one.
Yeah. You know, I got to take opportunities where I see them. Review us on iTunes too, when iTunes puts us up. God damn it. So anyway.
I'm searching every day.
Me too. I'm waiting for that email, man. And there's nobody I can email. That is a whole different topic. I'm so upset with Apple right now. I'm gonna buy a Surface tablet. No. So does anybody else have any news, or do we want to move on to the grind?
I got one little thing.
Do it. Go. Oh,
It was just basically a link to all the deals that Amazon has, and I was going to share that with you guys, but then also point out some of the more interesting ones.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Let's make this timely. Let's do it.
And it's ongoing now. For the people who are listening on Friday, the day that this comes out, there are still some deals for them to get. There's still hopefully that they can get on Friday. Otherwise, the only deal for Monday is Kinect Star Wars for $25.
You know what? I've always wanted to be a Jedi, and I think that this is my first, you know, just dipping my toe in.
Are right? You ain't no hologram girl, are you? Cool.
Is that a thing? I will be so upset if that's not a thing.
No, that's a thing. Yeah, that's a thing. Anyway, we'll just talk about all the good deals that people missed. You know,
we're really just dangling the carrot and then yanking it away for people.
You know, if I would like get off my lazy ass and like put this out like tonight, like so many people would benefit, but I will not deviate from the plan, my friends. I will not deviate from this plan. Yeah, do it. Go for it. You're going to love it.
Which day is Dishonored?
Thursday, Nov 22.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Also known as Thanksgiving Day.
$25. Yeah. Okay, so there's that. There's Lego Batman. There's Batman Arkham Asylum Game of the Year for $10. I think if any of you guys have not played that game yet, shame on you, but this is a chance to redeem yourself.
Asylum or City?
The first one, Asylum.
Okay, I played that.
They're both great. There's some Mass Effect for $8, but that's okay. But they have the trilogy coming out next month, so that's kind of and let's see, Max Payne for $15. Don't know how good that is, but Grand Theft Auto 4 with both expansions for $15.
Yeah, the complete, that's a really good deal actually.
$15, wow, yeah. Yeah.
Borderlands 1 for $15, same day on Thursday. And of course Star Wars Kinect.
What do you think of the Thursday deals are like the lamest ones?
Star Wars Kinect.
The Friday deals aren't that great either. I'm looking at them. Everybody knows that the gold's on Monday.
Hold on. Friday, November 23rd, first entry, SSX for $15.
Oh, yep. I should have seen that. I should have raised that red flag for you.
New show, new opportunity for me to just stand on my soapbox and scream about this game. You should be buy it.
Would you say that as regards DLC and ongoing support, this is Burnout on Snow?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. That's probably the highest praise you could give as well.
Can we put that on the back of the box because nobody buys this game?
Yeah.
No, I dig it. I dig it. I really do. Awesome.
I've also heard Spec Ops is another kind of fun.
Yeah, it's about to say Spec Ops.
Yeah, I heard that has a really good single player. Actually, like genuinely disturbing, like a genuinely disturbing look at the horrors of war.
Welcome to the level where we talk about games we haven't played.
Exactly. So I heard tell down at the old watering hole.
Word on the street.
Yeah. That's a good time. I need to look and see what the Steam sales are, but I'm not going to do that here. I might. Who knows?
Just start buying things.
Let me see here. Steam's autumn sale. Let's just look here since we're
reading. Are they up already?
I see a story on, let me see here. I see a story on, Joystick. Let's see here. Yep. It begins, November 21st through the 27th. They do not have any details, so please disregard.
Is Dragon's Dogma, is that thing?
I've heard that's really good. I've heard that, it's like, Dark Souls meets, Monster Hunter meets Shadow of the Colossus. A little bit. Super Japanese. I've been waiting for it to drop in price from where it's at, but it has held steady, dear friends. So that might be something I get with like a gift card here recently. But
When did Prototype 2 get a sequel?
Prototype 3? The prototyping?
When did Prototype get a sequel?
Earlier this year, I think.
Yeah, it came out around the same time as the other game sequel. That's like the same game. Yeah, but Lightning. Yeah, that's the one.
It's, Your prototype, but Lightning, infamous.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah, cool. That's actually been on my list for a long while, because I know, I mean, people just love Prototype.
That sounded like a fortune cookie.
Yeah, I was going to say, except for Dennis. Yeah.
Me fail English.
Then again, I also hated Bayonetta, so, you know.
You know,
I thought, known to go off on tangents.
I thought that Prototype was kind of bullshit.
Okay, good, see?
Yeah, I was playing it when I was living in New York, and like that game's map is basically a Google Maps rendition of, you know, that. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go to a place, you know, where, you know, that you would recognize. So I went to 59th and 5th Avenue on the map, which is the southeast corner of Central Park, and I was like, this is bullshit. It's gray buildings. What are they doing? And so I roundly dismissed it. There was no Apple store. What in the world? No. Like, even the GM building was kind of bullshit. It was real bad. I don't know. Could have been fun. Traversal was kind of cool, but
that's what I kept on hearing. I didn't even like the traversal. So, But anyway, yeah, that's sidebar.
Yeah, you guys want to do the grind?
Yeah, let's grind.
So, guys, what you been grinding on?
So I got two things, but then I also got a little thing in front of... Well, I got two things.
Just go, man. Go.
I'll go in reverse chronological order. So the last new thing that I've played is I started playing the zombies mode for Black Ops Dose.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Black Ops...
Yeah, that's...
Cod Blobsy.
Now, this was not a game that I purchased. So I want my credibility to still be intact.
That's fine. I hear it's pretty good. I hear it's okay.
But I'm at my brother's place right now, and so he had vehemently loved this game, the first one and the second one now, too. And so he's all about the zombies. And so... He made me sit down and play a couple rounds with him. And I got to say, it's somewhat enjoyable. It's pretty good. I'll give it that. It's better than I expected.
Is it like persistent and you're driving around in like a Jesus Christ Superstar bus and...
Yeah, so like they only have like one main zombies map. They have one if you pre-ordered it or did something special. But there's basically just one map that everyone plays. And what it is it's basically five stages that are separated by fog. So think of Stephen King's The Fog.
Oh, I love that book.
Where everyone's in a gas station or a convenience store, and it's surrounded by fog, and there's monsters there.
That is part of the Dark Tower continuity.
Yeah, so it's basically like that, except you have these five different maps, and there's fog between them. Now, you can run in the fog and try and get from one area to the next, but when you do, these creatures will jump on you, kind of like in Duke Nukem, when those like things would come up on the camera, and you had to like shoot them off. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
they're really scary. Tapeworm-like things. So there's things that essentially do that, and you have to knife them off. And while they're on you, zombies can attack you, so you're kind of pretty vulnerable. But luckily, you don't have to do this to get between areas. There is a bus that has a semi-dead robot driver that has glowing blue eyes and laughs a lot, and he will drive from stage to stage. So you can get on the bus... You can shut the doors to the bus, and then you can ride to the next place, get off, and do whatever you want there. So
is it happening? Is he like waiting for you, or does he just kind of go on his own? And you can like catch him.
He will honk the horn, and you have about 10 or 20 seconds to get on the bus before it takes off. So he honks the horn when he gets there, and he honks the horn before he leaves, and so that kind of lets you know he's there.
So when you say like robot driver, are we talking like? Total Recall style?
It's like, say, like C-3PO from Episode 1, but chop off the lower half of the body, chop off the ends of the arms, and then put, like, a hat on him and have him have glowing blue eyes.
That basically sounds like, yeah, Total Recall.
So, yeah.
Make it the stuff of nightmares.
Yeah, well, for some reason he looked friendly. I don't know how, but it's a pretty cool gimmick. And they have a lot of cool things. So I had played the previous one, and so I mean all the same things are there. There's entrances where the zombies come in. You can rebuild them. There's outlines of guns on the wall, all scattered throughout all the maps. And if you go up to it, you can buy whatever gun that is that's there. So all that stuff is still there. Some new mechanics that they have is there's certain areas where you can look at parts. And if you find enough of these parts, you can assemble different kind of machines, I guess.
Yeah.
So like one of them is a mannequin with a fan and some sort of electricity on it. It's supposed to be an electricity generator, and so you can use that to open up doors if the power's not
on. It's like a turbine.
Yes. Yeah. And some other ones, there's a zombie shield. Some other ones, it turns the power on the place, so you can buy all these other upgrades. So they have all these kind of upgradable things scattered throughout the place. And then they have different upgrades that you can find for the bus that's driving around. So one of them puts a ladder on the bus, so you can climb on top of it and just shoot zombies from there. Another one has a cow catcher. Yeah.
Like on a train.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you put that on the front of the bus and then
you can board up the windows, right?
Yes, you can do that, but you don't need an upgrade for that. So that's natural. The bus is surrounded by, basically vantage points for the zombies to get in, which is bored. So it works the same way like, all the other places. So they'll tear off the boards and you can repair them. But if all the boards are gone, then zombies can jump right in.
Right.
Hey, so, yeah. Because zombies support public transportation.
Despite like attacking it, in their dead heart, they really do support it.
it's like a whole new meaning of Meals on Wheels.
Ooh.
I like that.
That's a pretty good movie.
Meals on Wheels?
Actually, Wheels on Meals, but yes.
That's funny.
Feels on me. I've never seen that one.
One of the better Jackie Chan movies.
Huh.
Yeah. Other than that, they also have the dynamic. They have the mystery box, which is you pay for it and it'll give you a random gun. It might be good. It might be bad.
Yeah.
So all those dynamics are still in place. But
have any of you heard of DayZ?
No. What is this?
I think I have. It's the Brad Pitt movie.
No, that's World War Z. DayZ. It's a mod for Arma 2.
It's the excessively realistic zombie thing.
Yeah. This kind of sounds like a more arcadey version of that, which kind of appeals to me in a very real way. I think that's going Counter Strike in that it's going from mod to a single you buy this at retail or Steam, as it were.
Yeah, so similar to Left 4 Dead.
Kind of, yeah, except it's like more persistent, things like that. So if you like quit after you like upgrade and you get a bitchin' bus with electric wheels and a cow catcher and sexy ladies painted on the side, when you come back in, like does it recognize that like, oh, this is the guy with the bitchin' bus? And it gives it back to you? Oh, so it's just like within
round,
it's within the session. Bus. Okay.
It's basically horde mode, right?
Yeah, so yeah, it's wave survival. So yeah, zombies will come in rounds and you kill them and more aggressive zombies come each round. However, they do have one thing, the different areas, there's one of the areas is a depot, which is basically like a bus stop. One of the areas is a diner. One of the areas is a town. One of the areas is a farm, which is really nice. It has cornfields and creepy barns. And then the last area is, I don't know how to describe it, kind of like a wasteland. But anyway, in the farm area, there's a refrigerator with which you can put a weapon. and it'll save it for the next round. So say you get a really awesome gun, you can put it in there. The next round you can go there and pick it up, but it only lasts for one round. And if you die after picking it up, it's gone. So they have one carryover gimmick, but that's about it.
See, I always found that such a large barrier to even starting those modes. It's like you have the one game where you do really well and you get through a lot of rounds and, you know, you get to where it's really difficult. And then to start the next game and have to work your way back to where it was, you know, really intense is just – because then it's not about getting to a point. It's about just not screwing up until you get near where you were before.
Never play Binding of Isaac or FTL.
But you know that it's like, you know, I that makes you play sloppy and then you make stupid mistakes and then, you know, you never get back to that point and so you have to start over and play really carefully, but then it's boring because you've done it all before. I don't know. That always made it hard for me to enjoy those modes, knowing I had to build back up.
I mean, I would say that it just teaches you to get really good at building to that point, and you just learn how to more efficiently get to that point.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, it's been pretty fun. I've only played a handful of rounds, but I've been surprised by how much I liked it.
That's the one part of the game that really kind of intrigues me, like what they did. I was never terribly in love with the idea of zombies mode before because, like David said, it's Horde, essentially, which is fine, you know, all that kind of thing. But it's kind of the same reason why I never played, like, Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, because it's Horde. But this notion of, you know, bringing the progression system from the main Call of Duty, you know, multiplayer, which, you know, rewards you for playing, but also rewards you for playing well against real humans, and putting that into this kind of like microcosm where it's, you know, from session to session, but you're playing against dumb monsters. And those are easier to shoot than real people who will kill me in two shots.
That's true. But
are
there is...
Swords? Nazis?
I don't think so, no. They're just zombies. Okay. But there still is a learning curve, though, because if you wait a couple months and then go try and play this, whoever you play with, you know, they're going to know exactly what they're doing, and they're going to go, you know, to this area and then this area and this area very quickly. And so then there is still kind of that learning curve where even though you're not playing against the other people, you can sometimes feel lost. So the learning curve, I imagine, will get somewhat steep in the coming months. But
yeah, as things get codified.
That's where you need local. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's where you need party multiplayer or something like that, where you can pick
they
out.
Do have that.
Oh, cool.
They do have that. And in fact, I think tomorrow night we are doing a quote-unquote LAN party, but without the LAN part. But,
right.
You know, yeah.
Neat. Have you played any other parts of it, or is it just the zombies mode?
I have just played the zombies mode.
Okay.
Not too interested in any other part of it, because the second game that I've been playing...
Oh, shit. This is going to be great. I know it's going to be great. I don't even know what it is, but I know it's going to be great.
So this is to kind of follow through with what we had talked about last week at the end of the episode about what I should get. I ended up getting Assassin's Creed 3.
Oh, cool. Aha. Tell me how it is.
Wild card, right?
Yeah, I know. I was expecting
after
Hitman.
I dogged on Assassin's Creed 2. I looked up reviews of both of them, and, you know, kind of saw what people had thought of it. And one up did not like Assassin's Creed 3 much at all.
No.
However, I went by the game trailer's users rating, where it got a 9.6 from the users.
Holy shit, wow.
So I thought if that was good enough for the users, it would probably be good enough for me. And so far, I think that they are right.
Really? Wow.
I've been pretty happy with it so far. I've only sunk maybe 4 or 5 hours into it. But I will say that... I have enjoyed it immensely so far. So can I talk freely about Assassin's Creed 2? Are we past that point?
I think we have passed embargo, and the story is, like, it's consequential, but not so consequential that you can't spoiler anything.
And honestly, yeah. I've played so little of it that there's probably not much that I could even spoil anyway.
But, like, you beat it, didn't you?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I only played... I don't know, probably about 4 or 5 hours of it, and then I stopped.
out of disgust.
So here's my beef with Assassin's Creed 2. everyone talked about how it was a great story, how they got really into Etsy's character, and I just didn't feel that. You know, like I played it. I just didn't get into it. I felt like the mechanics had not improved significantly from Assassin's Creed 1. I didn't think the settings looked too terribly different. So I guess I didn't get into it for that reason. Assassin's Creed 3, I won't say any of the levels or anything, but I will say that they are immensely different from what I have seen in the previous versions of it. So perhaps it's been that I just haven't enough spaces been between Assassin's Creed 2 and 3, but the settings are lavish. They're beautiful. They do a great job with presentation in the first 3 or 4 hours of it. I understand what people meant by the by some of the game mechanics being aggravating as far as their stealth missions go. If someone spots you, it resets the entire mission. That's kind of frustrating. If you've played Ocarina of Time, the part where you're sneaking into the castle, if you've ever gotten aggravated with that mission, it's kind of like that for some of the Assassin's Creed missions. So I can understand why people are frustrated with that. But that aside, the presentation has just been beautiful. So and on top of that, they have a couple mini games in it, like bar games that you can play with people on ships or in hotels or bars or whatever. And for some reason, I've just really enjoyed those. They're kind of, I don't know if they're historical games or not, but they're games that I've never seen before. But I thought that they were really interesting. One of them's called Cowboy Checkers. I don't know if you guys have heard of this before or not.
No, yeah. I read that all the games there are like authentic, though. They are from that time period and were okay. Actual games.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because they had like a brief bio on it, like this originated and whatever, and so I wasn't sure if that was legit or not. But so I've enjoyed those a lot. The first place that you start off at, the first main place, is Boston that you spend time in.
Right.
And, it's pretty solidly presented. I still haven't tried to I've tried to navigate the city and see if there's any spots that I could recognize, but I have not done that successfully yet. So far, so good. I'm not too deep into it. I know I'm not the main character yet, so I still have a ways to go on that, I believe.
So you don't start out as Connor?
No, you don't.
Really?
They say like the first quarter of it or so, you're not him.
That is not something I knew.
Yeah. So, huh. But it's okay. The character who you play as is pretty cool. So,
oh, cool. Great.
I've enjoyed it a lot. So I would recommend trying it. If it is, I believe that's a game that goes on sale for $40 after Thanksgiving or on Thanksgiving.
You know, I'm checking that right now. This one might be like this weird exception to the series that like that's been the case in the past. Man, these Black Friday sites are they're getting less and less useful, honestly.
Yeah.
So I can't. I'll probably double check here when I'm not speaking or talking. I'm gonna pick it up like here right quick. Just because I am interested. I have a professed love of the series. I think that I'm getting I was a little bit burned out on it. On Revelations, I think it was.
Yep.
But this might be different enough to where I can get over it. And if not, then I can just power through the main quest and, be done with it and be satisfied with the story that I got. So,
Word.
How do they deal with firearms? I mean, I can kind of understand if you get with a sword, maybe I dodged, it was only a flesh wound. But if you get shot, I feel like that's fairly...
It grazed you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like every video game, you can take 50 bullets.
So just don't jump in water.
Yep.
other than that, the games sort of make a nod towards. They usually at least the other Assassin's Creed games at least try to explain, how you're doing all. What I mean?
Not really.
In the lore, what they say is that the things that you're seeing, they're desynchronizing. So you're
right.
Basically
that was
when
the
you
first game, yeah,
sort of shot. That's all of them. Yeah. Anytime you're in the Animus, the idea is that when you get shot or when you get slashed with a sword, you're remembering it wrong so that you can take that damage and continue. But you know, if you misremember,
die,
yeah,
that's not what happened, since that character you're playing as lived and did all these things. Yeah.
Okay, right. that makes more sense. That's kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah, they do have a pretty BA story set up, because they can do things like jump you around the map and have it not be an issue. Be like, oh yeah, we're just going to fast forward to this memory.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they can have terrible loading times for things in the distance, and that could just be the Animus loading it. That's not a problem.
Yeah, it's a wonderful plot contrivance, sure. Honestly.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Black Friday price on Assassin's Creed 3 at Best Buy is $35.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to pick that up. Whether or not I get to it this year, who knows?
Some clog to take care of.
I was going to ask you.
Yep.
Have you yet, or do you have any intention of trying multiplayer?
I might try it after the single player, but for now I'm more interested in the single player than anything else. So.
Okay, I just remember Assassin's Creed 2 multiplayer being my favorite
Brotherhood
online experience.
Brotherhood, the
Oh, was that the only one that had online?
Yeah, Brotherhood and Revelations had it.
Okay, then yeah, I played Brotherhood. That one it was great. I got it for some reason. It was just really, really good multiplayer, and it's different than anything else you'll play online.
Are you talking about where you assassinate another person and you have the reverse Turing test going on?
Yeah, but basically everyone gets a target, so everyone is simultaneously hunting someone and being hunted themselves.
Yeah.
And the areas are filled, just brimming with characters that look just like all the different archetypes. So you have to, you know, there's this weird blend of you can really Rambo it if you want and be fairly successful if you do it smartly, where you just run around and try to, you know, get to people before they know what's happening and kill them. But at the same time, that makes it really easy for whoever's
to spot you. Yeah.
But the thing is, if you're moving around the map fast enough, they can't do anything about it because they can spot you. But unless they want to break character as well, they can't get to you.
Yeah.
But there's also, I've also found a lot of success with really playing the opposite end of the spectrum, where you're just blending in, you're biding your time, you're hanging out, and you can get just as many points from fooling someone into killing the wrong person when they're hunting you as you can with killing other people. So, you know, some of the power-ups you get enable you to deceive your hunter into killing someone else, and that's a great way to up your score. So it's just it's completely different than any other sort of game you'll find online, except for that, what was it, Spy Party? Is that
That's never actually been released though. This is the innovator in the space.
It'll be Indie Game the Movie 2. But yeah, so it's completely unique, and you can play it a bunch of different ways, and it always feels fair, and I'll keep on gushing until someone stops me.
No, it really is a delight. You're not off base at all.
Yeah, yeah. So check it out once you get through single player.
Yes, I will. Steve Brule, check it out as soon as I'm done with the storyline.
Oh man. So you said he had two, so those are the two, right?
That's it.
Yeah, I'll be interested to hear your spoiler free takes. Thank you for ruining that you play as somebody different at the beginning, by the way. No,
did we lose you?
No, I don't think you did.
Yeah,
did you?
No, I didn't hear you. Yeah, sorry.
Oh no,
it sounded like you were berating me though. So do I want to hear you?
Yes, I was. No, I said thank you for ruining the whole not Connor thing at the beginning, but that's fine.
I had heard that before, so I did not know.
That's like saying in the first game that you play, you know, you play it as someone in the Animus. Like if it's in the first 5 minutes, then it's really not. Yeah. A spoiler.
Okay, I guess that's true. I'm just exceptionally good at going on blackout.
I see.
So yeah,
that's called alcoholism.
Not good enough.
No, I basically only know that BioShock Infinite exists. at this point.
And like, that's pretty much all that anyone else knows about it too.
Well, I was gonna say, actually, that probably means you're gonna be the one person on the planet who's not horrendously disappointed by it.
And you know what, that's a happier existence, you know. Do you guys mind if I go next?
Sure.
No, please.
Cool. So I mentioned in the brief that I played a little bit of the Wii U when I went into GameStop to buy one of my birthday presents to myself, the Metal Gear Solid HD collection and Metal Gear Solid 4, because I'm on a tear.
Nice.
Recently.
I'm midway through that WAF episode and it is pretty stellar.
Oh, so. Thanks. Yeah, it's I'm happy with it. But I'll talk about that a little bit later. No, they had a Wii U setup, and I think they have them at most retail establishments. But I try to leave the house as little as possible, so I was taken aback by this wonderful technology. The first thing I noticed, like the TVs that they've got them on, are like really really good. Like they're gigantic, like 32-inch TVs. When usually they're like, you know, like maybe like 27 at best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a chance to play around with it. The only playable demo out there, I think, in stores is the Rayman game. It's like Rayman Ultimate or something like that. And I gotta say,
I'm so mad they bastardized that.
Like, it's not really bastardized though. It's pretty good.
I can't play it, therefore it's bastardized.
Okay. You know, that's just one of those things. I need to figure out what this thing is. So I'm gonna Google it while I'm talking. But it looks really good. It looks crisp. I wouldn't say that it looks any better than what I've seen of Rayman Origins.
That's not possible.
good art direction is good art direction. Like the graphics
that is
are
platonic ideal. Yeah.
No, it's a damn fine looking game. It's Rayman Legends is what it's called. Let me write that down before I forget it. It looks really good. And kind of the trick of it is it has multiplayer, but it's kind of one person co-op, or it can be. So you're playing and you're doing the platforming and stuff yourself, but you get to these sections that are meant to be cooperative. And if you're playing by yourself, the character that you're playing as, like it auto runs and it kind of like does its own thing, and you go down to the screen in order to manipulate the world around them. So, like, there are platforms that need to be dragged over, and there need to be, you know, like you're rotating things in the background to bring stuff around, and you're popping enemies, so you're helping fight just like that. So the idea is, if you're playing with two people, and one of the managers at the place that I went to came over and was playing it along with me, so like, hey, I'll hop on here, and it was a really good time with me kind of like manipulating the world. I forget like what I likened it to. It's almost like the escort missions from Earthworm Jim, where you're carrying around the marshmallow and bouncing the puppy around, or it's almost like Lemmings to a certain extent. But it's got some elements of like, you know, some of the better iOS games that I've played, you know, where you're like cutting ropes. What game is that from? But yeah, it was pretty fun. It was pretty cool. I mean, it's hard to make a bad Rayman platformer, I think, especially since it's the same team. And that was a really nice use of the gimmick. And you know, it's really rare when you see something like that and you're like, oh, this really couldn't have been done on any other system, you know. So at least they're, you know, leading with that foot, you know, as a you know, a third party developer, no less, leading with that. So it's pretty cool. I have some beefs with the hardware. The controller is actually bigger than I expected, which I didn't think was possible, because I was expecting it to be gigantic. It's kind of like a radioactive space monster Game Gear, a little bit. And the face buttons are below the analog stick, which is kind of wiggity whack. But what I will say to its to its credit, the screen, there's no discernible lag. And the touchscreen, for being a resistive touchscreen and thus bullshit compared to like a capacitive screen, like we're used to on every modern device, Nintendo, for real.
Okay, hold on. They were patching in online support. Can you really blame them for a touchscreen that's not, you know, bleeding edge?
Yeah, okay. You know, it's just one of those things. Nintendo makes good hardware. They generally do. If you give them enough time and you give them enough iterations, they make good stuff.
I'm sure the next version will have capacitive.
Maybe, who knows? But even with my finger, it was okay. Of course, I quickly got the Purell in my car and washed my hands because, God forbid, all those people touching that screen. God. Anyway, but yeah, it's a nifty little device. You know, will
Is
I buy one?
Could you, game.
You get to play anything other?
Like a lot of fun.
I watched a trailer for Zombie U, to both of your points, simultaneously. I watched a trailer for it.
Well done. Yeah. It's like a Segway Plus
combo. No, that looks really neat. I wish that I could have gotten a chance to play it. I can understand why they wouldn't put that in a demo unit because it's rated mature. They don't want to do that.
Apparently it's incredibly difficult.
That's what I hear, but I like how the things that I've heard, and again, this is all secondhand information, like my, appreciation for Prototype 2, I don't know. I forget where we left off on that. We were kind of back and forth for a while. That it manages the tension of, it makes, managing your attention between the screen kind of part of the game. So, like, if you're doing your inventory, you're looking away from the screen where things could come get you. So, it kind of makes sense to that regard. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the thing doesn't work. Like, half the things they say don't really, just like that. But in an ideal environment, or maybe less than ideal because I'm in a store touching this communal toilet, but just in a situation where, like, we're going to show you this part of this level that will work. All of those caveats, in general, I dig the concept, and I like what they're putting down.
So here's the beef I have with the Wii U. I think this is the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem is everyone already has a Wii. The fundamental problem beyond that is that the Wii was this big revolution in the way we control games, but it made it more intuitive. It was simpler, and it opened up gaming to a whole market of moms, essentially, that weren't interested before. And I see the Wii U trying to do the same thing in that they are trying to revolutionize the way we control. But from everything I've heard, and again, it sounds cool, like you had a mostly positive experience, but from everything I've heard, the gamepad controller touch thingy makes things more difficult and convoluted instead of more intuitive. So that's not saying it can't be used well, that's not saying it can't work, but it is less accessible than a regular controller rather than more accessible than a regular controller.
Here's what I'll say to that. You may be entirely right. I mean, I just said, Zombie U, it makes looking back and forth this horrible tension-inducing thing, yeah. Which works for a survival horror game. but what I will say is, we're increasingly going into this world where everybody speaks touchscreen. My mom is talking about getting an iPad. Everybody speaks touchscreen. And I think that them leading with that foot and trying to, step in front of that wave, I think it at least speaks to them being somewhat aware of the world outside of them, which is not something Nintendo usually does.
No, it's fair. Although, you have to say that they went to their next generation at least a year before everyone else. So I would fully expect to see this sort of integration in a, Xbox 720 or a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Maybe not built into the controller. I think what they'll do is just say, we'll sync your smartphone to it.
Yeah, I mean, Microsoft has definitely had that direction with the smart glass thing, which is kind of bullshit. It's like the remote app for my Apple TV, which I like because that, is in a place where I use it and everything.
And an Apple product.
No, it's also a better implementation. Really what this does is it puts Xbox buttons on your phone screen or your tablet, and extra information and stuff was not forthcoming. I don't know if that's because I was not like watching video from the Zune marketplace or something.
Yeah, right.
I'm not seeing it so far. It's kind of a non-compelling half implementation, which is a little bit lame to me.
Yeah, give it a generation of consoles, it'll come around.
Well, you say that that Wii U is going into the next generation 1 year early. I think they're coming to this generation about 6 years late, but you know, sick burn.
Fair point.
I'm still hoping that this is the generation that kills off Nintendo as a console manufacturer.
I don't know, man. All they're going to keep doing is funding their console habit with their handheld sales. That is what they've done since the GameCube came out. Maybe even the N64. You know, like the Wii was a little bit of a breakout, but the DS has always outsold it, except for like certain months. I may be talking
about
my
ass. The DS is an amazing system.
This is true. I love my DS. I love my 3DS. It's good. It's great. I love my 3DS XL. Rather, that's a an entirely different story. But yeah, that's the Wii U. If I get a chance to play any more games, somebody might bring one into the office or something like that. That's the kind of thing that happens. Yeah, like I mentioned, while I was there, I picked up the Metal Gear Solid HD collection, and that is pretty cool.
Thanks.
Yeah. As Dennis said, we recently did an episode of Watch Out for Fireballs about the original game, and it gave me the bug, especially this time of year, because most of the Metal Gear games come out this time of year. Like for my, I believe, 18th birthday? No, 17th. Because it was 2004. It was when Snake Eater came out. I got that for my birthday.
And their cutscenes are 8 hours long, so you kind of need to be off of work.
Just a little bit. Yeah, I was 17. What was I doing? Who knows? Yeah. School and shit? Nah. It's pretty cool. So my intention is, like off and on to play through the game in chronological order. So to go from... it's actually pretty cool. So you go from Metal Gear Solid 3... to Peace Walker, which is on there, and then you can play Metal Gear 1 and Metal Gear 2, which are in there as part of Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater Subsistence, to play those. I've already played Metal Gear 1, or Metal Gear Solid, the original. Then you do Metal Gear 2, and then I also picked up Metal Gear Solid 4, right? So, who knows?
Is that in the bundle?
No, it's not, but it's like $7 or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So wait, when you say you're playing it chronologically, you're playing it in it chronologically for the story.
For the series, yes. Yeah.
Okay, not in terms of release dates.
And completely crazy for everything else.
Exactly. Yeah, it looks really good. They did a very good job with the port. It's almost disorienting to see it in that high of a resolution at that high of frame rate, but it's nice. The voice acting still holds up. It's amazing. Like, I still get tingles playing that first chapter of, Metal Gear Solid 3. That is such an amazing game. It's just like one of my favorites, honestly. It is the highlight of the series at the very least. Just one of the best games on the PlayStation 2 at the next to very least. And one of the best games ever, in my humble opinion. But I never played the Subsistence version of it. I only ever played the original, the Snake Eater. In Snake Eater, you had the top-down camera, which is usual for the series until Metal Gear Solid 4. Subsistence gives you what would theoretically be a better camera, like the Splinter Cell style. You're rotating around Snake as he, as he runs, so you're not like in top-down mode the entire time, which is good. And it theoretically gives you a better visual on like where people are coming from, so you can see people off in the distance if they're looking at you. I'm just not used to playing the game that way. I'm used to like knowing where north and south are and where east and west are, and where that's at. So it's been a little bit disorienting to play it. I suppose I'll eventually get used to it, but it's throwing me off some. Ben, when you played it, did you play Snake Eater or Subsistence?
I played Snake Eater.
Okay,
fantastic game.
Yeah, so good. You all have played that, right?
I haven't played any of them.
Oh, wow. I think
not
you like
even, it. I think I might have played like half of the demo level of 2 or whatever.
Right,
where you're on the boat.
Yeah, you're on the boat. anybody says that, I'm going to literally flip out. No. So I think you'd like it. Yes, it is a stealth game, and yes, stealth is encouraged, but it gives you like a pretty good out if you get seen. It's got like a really cool military conspiracy theory, completely bug nuts insane story to it, which is good. It's a good series. I would recommend as an entry point, like picking up the HD collection. If you have the opportunity, it's like $27 now or something like that.
So cool.
It's been on my to-do list for a while. Although just to be pedantic, I have to say it's not a stealth game. It's a line of sight of avoidance game.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you want a stealth game, you're going to play Thief or Dishonored, you know, but.
Or Assassin's Creed.
I believe it's called a tactical espionage action game.
Yes, which makes sense to me. That's
I'm not complaining. I'm just
yep. But yeah, I'm excited about it. What was it you were about to say, Ben?
So you're playing this 3-1-2-4,
three piece walker, Metal Gear 1, Metal Gear 2. Then I've already played Metal Gear. Then Metal Gear Solid 2, and then Metal Gear Solid 4.
Okay.
That's the intention. Who knows if I go through with it?
Is this including the NES ones?
They're the versions for the MSX, which is like the Japanese computer.
I lost you.
They're the versions for the MSX, which is the Japanese computer system. That like the originals were what they were made for. The NES version is actually really compromised.
Okay, but I mean, does this have like the ones where it's pixelated?
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. Other stuff here. This next one is a little bit tricky because I can't say anything about it except to play it. There's a free online flash game called Frog Fractions that you should really, really check out. Yeah, it is really, really good.
Is this like an in-browser thing?
Yeah, it's a flash game. It'll take you about 30 minutes to play. What I will say is, to all outward appearances, it is a educational game where you are a frog who is on a lily pad and flies are trying to eat your fruit. And when you eat the flies, a fraction pops up and it teaches you about fractions. But you can upgrade your shit. And all that I will say is that when you get the dragon, go down. That is as cryptic as I can be. It's as clear as I can be. But when you get the dragon, go down. Because you are in for a wild, wild ride. It's seriously good. It's completely free. You just play it in your browser. If you get 40 minutes, sit down with a beer and just go on a ride. Really, I'll put a link in the show notes.
I bet you tell all the girls that if they go down, they'll get a wild ride.
Jesus, Dennis.
When you get the dragon, go down.
Yeah. So no, it's good. Frog Fractions. That is all I can say. If I talk anymore, I will take all the magic out of it. Strangely enough, it's whenever they talk that the magic goes away. But oh man, no. So let me put that in the notes here. Frog Fractions. Other than that, more Dark Souls. Honestly, delving into the DLC for that, I have managed to get past my roadblock, and I am now at the final boss of the DLC, which, like every good Dark Souls boss, is entirely like, how the hell am I going to do this at the start? Then you see a little hole in the armor, and then you just take your fingernail and you pick at it and you pick at it and pick at it until it's like a big weeping sore, and then down he goes. So this isn't like including the what am I thinking of here? The bonus boss, which is like this big dragon that harasses you throughout the entire thing. I'm gonna do that later. My ultimate goal is to do a new game plus. But before you do a new game plus, it really behooves you to go around and collect every item and do everybody's like plot lines, because you accumulate things like things that you pick up once per game. You can get like 5 copies of the same spell if you do 5 new game pluses, and the enemies get substantially harder as you go along in each one of these. So it's really good if you. So like every NPC that you encounter, like the premise of Dark Souls, everybody in this land is undead, and as they die, they lose a little bit more of their humanity, and they eventually turn hollow. Most of the NPCs that you encounter, you either rescue them from like severe danger, then they go back to your main hub area, and then they start going out to, you know, go on their own personal quest, and you can like help them do that, and usually by helping them, you get some awesome item, and they go insane, attack you, and you have to kill them, and then you get their sweet, sweet gear. So I'm trying to do all of those as well to prepare for the new game plus, because if I go into the new game plus without those, I will be at a distinct disadvantage.
Poor guys that you have to kill.
Yeah, I know, right? Some of them are like, it's kind of sucky, like, because they lose their mind in really, really, in really convincing ways. I don't want to spoil, like, you know, who it is or what happens, but there's a magician that you meet who like, if you rescue him from a prison and he gets tell of the Duke's archives, which is a place where this big scaleless dragon is researching sorceries, if he finds that, the result isn't great.
Yeah. Dark Souls just doesn't strike me as a game where things go well overall.
No. Even the good ending, not so great. So, yep, it's cool. It's an amazing game. I've spilled enough, you know, waveform about it over the past, you know, year or so. I will never discourage somebody from getting it. I think that people who haven't played it just don't know they like it yet. But yeah. So
you don't know that you're actually a masochist.
Yeah, you don't know that you're missing out. Yeah, it's just a thing. Feel the pain. Like Dinosaur Jr. said, feel the pain. Okay, who else wants to go?
So I've been playing more Borderlands 2. They did it to me again. I thought I got to the final area, and it was really just a gateway to another hub. So that continues to happen. I'm now level 32, almost 33. And Ben, I think you said you fit the game around level 26, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'm doing all the side quests as I get them. But it's kind of interesting, the difference in level there, if you do all the side quests.
So where are you at right now?
I just mined the data, and I'm headed now to Heroes Pass.
Gotcha.
So I think I'm right at the end.
Yes.
But again, I've thought that probably three or four times now. They keep on moving the goalposts on me.
You're fastly approaching the end of the game.
Yeah, I can't think of many more twists that it can take, so that's my assumption. But anyway, so...
What if you're all already dead?
Turns out it actually takes place in medieval times.
And
the restaurant, not the times.
It's really big in there.
But anyway, so knowing I'm coming up on the end, I'm actually starting to plan my No Shields playthrough character.
So you talked about this last week. I kind of thought you were joking.
No, I'm dead serious. So how do you got my character?
How do you do that? Do you just not equip a shield, or do you not upgrade the shield, or what?
So yeah, the shield is just an equipable item, like any gun or grenade or anything like that. So I'm just not going to equip one. And the Gunzerker skill tree that's titled Brawn is actually has a lot of skills that focus on building your max health and regenerating your health. And that sort of thing. And then the Gunzerker action ability overall gives you a health regeneration and an instant health boost. So I think that's what I'm going to do to get through it. And we'll see what happens. I'm excited about it. I'm trying to decide if I want to do the... Because I know you can do a new game plus, right, Ben?
Yeah, but I believe that's with the same class, a character.
Yeah, so I can't decide if I want to do the new game plus with the commando first, or if I want to do the No Shields run through. I think I'm going to go straight to No Shields, but you know, who knows.
And I'm the masochist.
Yeah,
yeah,
right. So this might be one of those things where I give up, you know, a couple missions in realizing it was stupid of me to try, but I want to try. Other than that, I've been playing. I went back in and spent some more time with Guitar Hero's music generator.
Oh yeah,
which. I'm just continually surprised how intuitive they make something that's controlled with the colored buttons on the guitar and how much you can get out of those five buttons. But that's more just a fun thing for me to do. I keep on promising that I'll eventually publish the songs I'm working on. And I stand by that. It just might be, you know, 4 years down the road. You never know. And then I am also, I went back to Phoenix Wright.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. And that's been fun. I think the first time I played it, you know, like I had a lot of fun with it, but I almost approached it from the aspect of, like, I felt like I had to figure out the right answers for everything and had to make sure I was really worried about missing stuff. And then, you know, it's one of those things where it just kind of gets lost on your phone and I wandered away from it. So this time I came back through and I really feel like I just kind of loosened up and realized that it is more of a graphical novel. And most of the time when it's giving you different options of how to respond, it, you know, all of them are right in their own way.
Yeah.
And just, you know, that allows you to have a lot more fun with it. And kind of realizing the game isn't really going to let you move forward without finding that key piece of information that you need. So you know, it's I'm just kind of enjoying it. So I played a little before I hit the sack most nights, and that's been a lot of fun.
That series really is a joy. I'm kind of sad that it stagnated over in the States. Like, I think there was another Miles Edgeworth Ace Investigator that was put out in Japan but not here. I like those characters a lot. They're good. It's a very good series. Like, yeah. What case are you on?
I am on the third one now, I think. Okay. I can't remember if that's the second chapter or what, but basically I'm investigating who is the owner of Blue Corp. And it's just kind of little fun, punny type of stuff pervades the game and, is just, yeah, like you said, it's a delight. It's kind of just a little fun, little treat to play.
Yep. I can't see the price cause I bought it. I think it's like $5 on the iTunes store.
Yeah. Oh, that was a gift from you, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was it's a good gift. It's keeps on paying out dividends.
Yeah. All I have to do is not play it for a while.
Yeah.
No, it's fantastic. I'm happy that you're enjoying it.
Oh yeah, very, very, very much so. And then I've also been playing went back and played New Super Mario Bros. Wii. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to save my thoughts on that for our end boss segment.
Cool.
Because they're not kind thoughts.
Oh wow, that's kind of changing the story a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it definitely is.
David, tell me about PlanetSide.
Well, I've, you know, it came out today, so I've only been able to play, you know, what I have. But it's interesting. You know, this is a game I'm really surprised actually came out at all, because yeah. PlanetSide was a weird combination of, like, you know, some of the most beautiful skyboxes I've ever seen, some of the most beautiful music I've ever seen, you know, one of the best concepts I've ever seen, and a really, really bad game.
Right. So explain what PlanetSide is for people who don't know about it.
Sure. It's basically massively multiplayer. It's basically persistent Battlefield, but at a much larger scale.
Right.
So, you know, you could have, you know, 100-on-100 or even larger battles that could go on for theoretically days.
Right.
And, you know, all persistent. There's three continents the game takes place on.
And you, like, you pick a faction, like you pick a side that you're fighting for, right?
Right. There's three factions, basically fascists, terrorists, and religious nuts.
All most of those sound the same to me, but okay.
Well, basically, there's the original government that kind of like the, you know, the empire from Star Wars, you know, that sort of, you know, sort of totalitarian. There's the group that's probably kind of the good guys who are all about, you know, freedom and stuff like that, but it's victory at any cost, you know, terrorism stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's the people who basically want to use the alien technology and, you know, have, you know, decided that the, you know, the forerunners have, you know, are the secret to humanity's, you know, next evolution. And
right. How does it run? Because it looks really good.
It runs, runs pretty well. I didn't have any trouble with it actually. Granted, my computer is fairly powerful, But, you know, I was surprised considering, you know, I got to places where, you know, I'd get up out on a ridge and there'd be five or six, you know, spaceships, you know, doing strafing runs on us and stuff like that. And, you know, didn't really see any slowdown.
Is it subscription or free to play?
Free to play, unfortunately, but
right. And is it like, do you pick a class or is it like Tribes or Call of Duty where you get like a loadout where you have a certain amount of points to spend on different items?
Somewhere in between. It's loadout based, but you unlock things via a class for the loadout. But you can switch loadouts at any time. It's just, you know, you progress in a given loadout.
Okay.
Seems fairly good. The only problem I've seen is it's one of these games that, you know, my feeling right now is it'll be a really great game if I can play it. By which I mean right now I'm just, you know, kind of walking out the door and immediately getting, you know, ganked.
Right.
you know, it does... it's probably not well designed, but it's probably my favorite intro, like tutorial setup for any game I've played. By which I mean you select your character, Kratom, and then they say, "Hey, we're drop shipping you in the middle of an active war zone. Make sure to work together with your teammates. Fight the good fight.
Kick your ass out of the plane."
I'm not even joking.
So you can be grist for the mill. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of badass, actually.
Yeah. So, you know, it's probably kind of aggravated by, you know, it's, you know, just like Battlefield, it's a difficult, you know, complex, you know, game style. And also, add that to the fact that, you know, it's science fiction, so. You know, you have enemies with, you know, jump jets and, you know, powered armor and stuff like that. So there's probably the learning curve is a little worse by the fact that, like, you know, the enemy could be just about anywhere shooting at you.
Right. Is the shooting good? Like, I mean, do they make sacrifices to the precision in order to make it work on a, you know, something where everybody has consistent, you know, or inconsistent levels of lag? Or
sure. Well, the previous game, when I say it wasn't a good game, they went big time with the cone of accuracy thing,
right?
But the problem they had is, you know, most games, I don't know exactly how they do it, but like, say, like Call of Duty, you have the cone of accuracy, but it sort of does a normal distribution. Whereas in the original Planet Side, like, you could literally be pointing right at someone, you'd fire the trigger, and you'd see your bolt fly, like, side, you know, kind of at an angle out of your gun. Like this doesn't seem to do that. Although I will say the guns kick back, and right now it just controlling them seems a little loose. I don't know if that's just me not being used to them.
The original PlanetSide came out on May 20th of 2003, which if you think about that in terms of like where other online games were at that point, it's kind of remarkable.
Yeah, it's really is, because I mean it, you know, in terms of just being, you know, very, very, you know, very massive for an MMO. But right. I haven't gotten a chance to look though. I, you know, like I said, the two random things I remember from the previous game is the fact that the music was amazing. And the fact that the skyboxes were arbitrarily detailed. So, like, you could look up and see, like, cold fronts roll in and stuff.
Nice.
And so I haven't really gone far enough to see, but I hope they kept that.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, so far it's, you know, kind of in between, but it's free to play. So
why not?
Play for free.
Yeah, if your computer can run it.
Right.
Any final thoughts or questions about PlanetSide 2?
Sounds like not.
Okay.
sounds like Mag.
like a little bit. Yeah. What happened to that game? Is it still a thing?
Nobody played Mag.
Oh, yeah. That explains it.
I think they did a core problem.
Yeah, we can host 100 and, you know, players, but we've only got 25.
So how do you know you can host 128 players? It's never come up.
Yeah.
So what I
heard happened to that game was like they did the same thing as PlanetSide. We kind of have to choose your faction early on, and everyone chose one faction.
Oh yeah, they all went Empire.
Yeah, essentially, and so one faction got really dominant, and then there was no point because
right.
Unless you were in that faction and loved trolling people.
Yeah. So they should have capped it.
Or provided like incentives, like, oh boy, you know, like there's way too many people. We can't supply all of them with ammo, so they get a certain like stat, you know, a stat drop, but like you get a morale boost for the other guys because they're the underdogs and they're fighting the good fight, so they get, you know, this kind of thing. Or they're just like have like scientific like innovations on one side or the other to like sweeten the pot and say, well, I could play for the evil guys, but the good guys just got jetpacks.
Yeah.
They can make it like the Russian army for the big side where one person gets bullets, the other one gets a gun.
Exactly.
You know, I always wondered what would happen, and I actually thought about this when Meg came out because I just thought it was so ridiculous that the way that everything just went immediately lopsided. If you had a game where there were multiple factions and you kept them, I mean, you'd have to keep them fairly identical, but that you, when you bought a game, you were just randomly assigned the faction.
Yeah.
It's like each game had a code in it and that was your faction. And unless you wanted to go out and buy another game and hope you got a different faction, that's what you were stuck with.
People would like immediately rebel against this, but if you made it purchasable DLC for like $5 to change your side, like to become an expatriate, and you would get like an awesome like tattoo or something, or you get a scar to be like, oh man, this guy defected, he's awesome, you know.
See, but then I feel like if you couldn't defect, if you were stuck on your team, it would almost foster that, like, yeah, well, we've got the, you know, this guy on our team, but they've got the one platoon that's really good. And
so you would get patriotism, which is, you know, in reality just defined as I am really proud of this place that I was born in, but I had no control of being born here. So
exactly.
I'm still proud of it, I guess. Maybe. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see something like that, you know, happening. It's just like, you know, the way fate rolls, is, you know, wherever you land, you can be proud of that. And yeah. It would also, I don't know if that would help keep things more balanced or if it would just make it more likely to be unbalanced.
I think that fiction is entirely determined by how well can you, hide the fact that the other people are other people from the person. So like, how long could you maintain the illusion that the people that you're shooting are just really, really well-programmed bots? Which would speak to the dehumanizing nature of war. They're on the other side, so therefore they must be, you know, braying monsters who, you know, are out to
Wait. These are people who are playing online games.
Okay,
I don't think you have to imagine.
Exactly. But I don't know. I'm designing the, like, the, I'm giving out $1 million ideas here. The whole technology thing, the patriotism, you know, being able to defect. Man.
Silent
None of this
Hill
is usable.
Slot machine.
You
know,
no,
we can't do that.
I know in the original Planet Side, just kind of retie. The interesting thing was that actually the three factions, there is very obviously a difference in difficulty between them.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, one was much easier, one was, you know, in the middle, and one was very difficult. And it seemed like to a certain degree that almost had the patriotism type effect you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because you basically had, you know, the people that played the faction that was the strongest because, you know, they wanted, wanted to play that. You had the middle, it just so happened that the medium in difficulty faction was, you know, the freedom fighters, you know, most overtly the ones people liked playing. So they got, you know, some population. And then the faction that was really difficult, you know, had a core, hardcore, you know, we're going to be the underdogs type thing.
I don't know if that's something that would happen right now, because like so many like people are so ready to call out poor balance as like something, or they're ready to call out poor balance as something that they are entitled to not be subjected to. So they would say bees need to be equal, but still be separate. It's like, ugh. Yeah. So like, even though that is like an amazing idea, I don't know if it would fly in the age of like, let's sand it off so everything is fair.
Right. Right.
You know, man, why isn't everybody as sophisticated as me? These people. Tell us a little bit about natural selection too.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Have you guys talked about it at all?
No, we talked about it on our old show, which we used to do, but I'm recognizing now that we haven't talked about it since then, so there's a little bit of intro that needs to be done.
Sure. Well, basically, you know, it's a combination first-person shooter and strategy game. One person on each side is the commander that, you know, views things top-down as a real-time strategy game and, you know, can drop buildings and, you know, things like that, give commands. And then everyone else plays it as a first-person shooter. But the thing that makes it interesting is the fact that it's asymmetric. One side are space marines that are, you know, fairly straightforward first-person shooter mechanics, whereas the other side are aliens that are just a whole bunch of crazy stuff.
Yeah, they're Zerg.
Yes, they are. Although I find it interesting that they're not particularly insect style, which I think was kind of cool.
They're like mammals almost, right?
A lot. I would say most of them. Yeah, almost all of them are basically mammalian.
Mammalian, yes.
I personally can't play as the aliens. I suck at playing as them. One of the things I've found is the humans, your commander drops a building, and then the Marines have to go over and basically repair it to build it.
Why'd you drop it from so high?
You use the repair gun on it, and that builds it.
Yeah, to activate it, yeah.
Right. And that gives you a much stronger sense of like kind of directing you, hey, here's where you're supposed to be focusing your efforts, which the aliens don't have because their stuff just kind of evolves off the creep.
Right.
Similarly, most of the aliens are short, so you view everything from like a knee-height perspective. And those things combined, I just find incredibly disorienting, and like I can never even find where I'm going.
One thing that I remember from the original mod for Half-Life, and it was a really big deal when it came out because it was one of the first full conversion mods, was that because it has the commander, you know, role where somebody directs it, it's one of those things where an inept commander can really ruin things, and a good commander can make things better. But you run into, like, I ran into situations where either nobody wanted to be the commander, so you had somebody who didn't want to be it and thus sucked at it, or there would be this like squabble about who would be the commander. So like, you suck, why'd you drop that here, let me take over, move, you know, all that. Is that something that happens?
So far, I would say definitely the quality of the commanders make or break, and that actually gets one of my major complaint about it, which I'll SEC. But and on the other hand, like, I've had really great commanders. You know, I remember I had one, we were assaulting a base, and he was, you know, directing us, laying out waypoints so that we could basically infiltrate the base going behind all their structures so that, you know, we were blocked from fire and attacks, stuff like that. I mean, I've had some really great ones. I have not seen, though, you know, the players have almost exclusively been, you know, very, very nice, very supportive. Although it does tend to be more on the side of no one wants to be the commander.
So, see, that's like what I would play the game for, is like, I can't do first-person shooters, but I can think tactically.
Yeah, I think the thing is, like I said, surprisingly little amount of assholery so far. And I think one sort of both positive and negative side effect of that is I think people legitimately want to do a good job. So if they don't feel like they can, they're kind of, you know, avoid, you know, taking on the position.
Like something that I've heard on other podcasts that have talked about this is that the community is more supportive than you would expect it to be. I don't know if it's by virtue of the fact that it's a smaller release, that, you know, that the community's kind of been around for a while in other forms, that most people wouldn't have the patience for this kind of game. But like some of the anecdotes that I've heard are like, if your side is fighting a lost cause, like the commander will step down and say, hey, does anybody want to step up and like learn how to be a commander? Because you're not going to make it any worse by being here. So you might as well get a chance to. And like, that's how a lot of people are like getting their wings.
Okay. See, I haven't seen that explicitly, but I would say, you know, the community seems really supportive. Although the one thing that does piss me off, I guess this maybe goes into some of the negatives, is the games, in terms of who wins and loses, you know, they're monitoring it. It tends to be 50-50.
Right.
The only problem is a given game is almost always one-sided.
Right.
And I think because some of that comes down to, if you think about your average game of StarCraft, you know, usually, you know, you'll reach the tipping point where one player once has the momentum and the other guy, you know, starts losing his technology upgrade, you know, start losing his resources, etc. The only problem is what you don't consider is that it's really not fun to be the actual Marines playing for that character or for that side. So I feel like that's one of the weaknesses, is it's not fun. Well, I mean, you know what I mean when I say it's not fun being on the losing side. You know,
never.
No. You can't, really?
Well, I mean, it's more, you know, you can't really fight the good fight.
Mm.
It, you know, it tends to more be just, you know, there's more no point in even, you know, trying to fight back. The other thing is,
does the game have a surrender option?
Right, exactly. The other problem is, right now, the aliens basically can get their ultimate class very, very quickly. So that doesn't really work in competitive play, but in a pickup group, It means that very often what will happen is the aliens within 5 minutes get their ultimate class and you don't have any anything with enough firepower to take them down. So I think it's going to remain to see. What it really comes down to is they want to be a competitive game. I personally hate competitive gaming, and I think what really drives games are pickup groups.
Okay.
Because, you know, for every one competitive gamer, there's probably, you know, some huge amount of players that just play pickup groups.
Right.
So hopefully they pick that up.
Neat.
On the plus side, though, stomach sliding as the alien healing class is amazing.
How so?
The healer class for the aliens is basically a hippo.
Okay.
That can its attack is to spit at the enemy, and then it can also like breathe out this healing mist. Okay. However,
sounds like Wilford Brimley.
However, if you do press the sprint key, instead of sprinting like all the others, it does a belly slide, and you slide in one direction till you hit something. And it's sort of, you can kind of drift around corners with it. So especially on the alien side, they do a really good job of just being like, you know what? How can we make being the healer just fun?
Right. That's too cool.
The other thing that's awesome is as the alien, your view is from inside the mouth.
That's a little weird to me.
See, it is weird. But it's kind of, it's an interesting view, and it's funny playing as the hippo alien because it's got this big, like, floppy tongue. So, like, as you're, like, drifting around the corner, the tongue is, like, flopping out, like, Michael Jordan style.
Like, in Aliens versus Predator, it made sense for when you, like, were doing the kill shot to have the teeth kind of come down at the, around it because you were seeing it from the little baby mouth inside the bigger mouth. Sure. But in this, the eyes are very clearly not inside their mouth.
Yeah. I think it's more a way to come up with an equivalent of having the gun thing there.
Makes sense.
The Marines have the gun, so they keep track of what do I have equipped. What firing mode am I in, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is the way of allowing the aliens to do that.
That their visual cue, yeah.
Right.
Huh.
So.
How hungry are these hippos?
Very.
The end boss.
There was one thing I wanted to do before the end boss.
Okay.
Since it's 11:58, I wanted to...
Aww.
Happy birthday.
I only have one more minute of being special, but we're good.
Yeah.
But that was enough for me. That will tie me over until next year. Cool. And boss, let's go. So let's keep this quick because it is midnight. Dennis, you said you had some negative opinions on New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
Yeah, just on a lark, I went back and played New Super Mario Bros. Wii again, and it was like a veil had been lifted, and I saw all these flaws that I just didn't see or was in denial about seeing before, and just kind of realized that the game sucked.
Really?
And then I thought, hey, maybe I'm just – and I went online and looked at some reviews just out of curiosity and realized, no, these are things that people have recognized as flaws. I just – never saw him before. So a couple of things. Reason Mario sucks, and this is specifically New Super Mario Bros. Wii, so hold back on your hate mail. This is just, but some of these things are problems throughout the games. And a couple of these things I think are vestigial leftover from a previous period, but I don't think nostalgia defends them. So the first, for example, is lives. You've got the life counter up in the back. Yeah, there's no reason for it to be there. There's no consequence for dying because you get infinite continues. Maybe there could be the badge of, hey, I beat the game without using a continue. But that just means you're going back to world 1-1 every, couple of levels to farm lives. And that's no fun. There's no reason to have that in there. And I also – I looked up a review for New Super Mario Bros. U, I think it's called, the one for Wii U, and that's not fixed. They still have lives.
Right.
Next up is failure. This is just the most basic game mechanic. And Cole, I know we've talked about this before, but if you're going to have failure in a game, the key mechanic that you need to keep players engaged and to keep people from getting pissed off is you need to be able to try again right after failure, right?
Right.
That's just game design 101. If you're going to have a place where someone's going to fail, they need to be able to say, oh, I did that wrong. Let me try again. Let me experiment. And they can get through it because they are able to try again right after they have failed. Mario always kicks you out to the beginning of the level, or, you know, if you're lucky, to a halfway point. And so you get through all these, you know, really complex platforming to get to that one place that you're having trouble with. Everything else is fine, only to die and have to go completely back through the level again, which is just BS. There's no reason for that to be there. Next up, this is a smaller qualm, but the game has time limits, right?
Right.
And this has always been a Mario thing. But especially now that they've had these star coins scattered throughout the level, which is just these coins in hard-to-reach places. And sometimes it's almost like a puzzle, or is you can see how to do it, but it's very technically difficult to do.
It's a feat.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time trying to get those. And you're rewarded by getting it, only to not be able to finish the level because you used up all your time.
Yeah.
So you have to go try again. It's just ridiculous. There's no reason for that to be in there. Again, that is not fixed in the Wii U version. Then the final and probably most infuriating thing, and I don't know how I never noticed this before, but in multiplayer, any time that a player dies or a player gets a power-up, it briefly freezes the game.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And this has always happened. It's just never been something that you worried about because it's always been single player.
Mm-hmm.
However, in this new multiplayer mode, any time that someone dies on the screen, it freezes the game. Just for a split second?
Don't interrupt my jump.
Exactly. If you press jump during that time, which for whatever reason, this time when I tried to play it was every time I tried to hit jump, it doesn't register it, and as a consequence, you die as well. And if you're only playing with two players, that means you're kicked back out. So not only are you having to wrestle with failure, but you have to wrestle with failure for stupid reasons, and you're not able to try again. And if you take the time to really coordinate and make sure you're doing it, you know, so that you don't have to run into those problems, then you're running up against the time limit. And if you're just like, screw it, we're going to deal with it and keep on trying to go through, then you run up against the lives. And you have to go back and farm or just use meaningless continues.
It's one big interlocking problem.
It was, yeah, I went back and it just, man, Mario is crap.
that particular Mario game. No, well, yeah. No, like there's week one, month one glasses, you know, like all those kind of things. It's
the honeymoon is over, man.
Yeah. And it sounds like they haven't fixed any of it for the new one. So these must be things that people like about the game. So it's really their problem, not yours.
Oh.
I would like to retort because I would like to be on the side of Mario on this one. The game isn't about making a new game, though. And it's about kind of uniting all the different Mario games up until this point and kind of paying homage to all those different platforms. Talking about from gaming standards and today, yeah, it is kind of a poor game because of those constraints, but they're not trying to make a new game. They're trying to unite all of these different games that they've already made and innovate within that skeleton structure. I mean, that's what they do with all the Mario Kart games as well. So, I mean, while those aren't the best practices for a game, if you're making a new game today, that's not what they're doing. They're just innovating on something that they've already done.
Riposte counterattack. None of those things that I mentioned would make it less of a Mario game. I feel like all the things that I talked about are non-essential to what pays homage to all the great things in the past. You know, maybe the time limit for time limit's sake, but even then, like, would you ever consider that a key part of a Mario game?
I played Super Mario World with my friend Max. And part of that game is going and farming lives when you get to the nitty gritty when you're at the end, and they have the one hidden Yoshi stage where you can get as many lives as you want,
or World 5-1, you know.
Yeah, so I see that kind of as being a part of the old games as well.
I rest somewhere in the middle. You know, I think that the best thing about New Super Mario Brothers Wii is the multiplayer, and it always will be. Playing with other people, everything else is kind of incidental to that. But
but that's the thing is, I feel like I could have dealt with it if I wasn't trying to play with someone else. But I don't want to be antisocial.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Maybe you need like two more. Like maybe you need like four players instead of just two.
But God and forbid alcohol. We try to stand in the same place at once. Yeah, maybe alcohol.
Mario Mag.
128 people.
Maybe you need 100 people. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I was going to list the complaint of like, you know, your characters can't occupy the same space, but I didn't because I think that's a legitimate like, hey, you know, you need to work together. And you can't just kind of play through in parallel. You legitimately have to talk to each other. And so I could see that being a decision. But I know we had enough trouble with two people trying to like all fit on the same platform and get up the momentum for jumps and just generally not get in each other's way. We could coordinate around it. But with four people, I would almost think it'd be impossible. I don't know. Huh. So, yeah, it's – I mean I know some of these are things that make Mario – or, you know, are paying homage to times past, and there is some challenge that people may like, but just I played through and it just left a real bad taste in my mouth.
That's the thing, you know, you leave a game for a while, you come back, and yeah, it's gone.
Yeah.
Have you ever played any of the Wario games?
I played...
Because they're basically what you've described, you know, Mario with no time limit, you can't die. You know, no continues.
Yeah.
What was the first Wario game for Game Boy?
Super Mario Land 3 Wario World.
Yes. So I played that and absolutely, it was my favorite game for that system.
It's really good. It's a puzzle.
If you saved up enough money at the end to get the best house. I don't know if anyone's actually played it.
I've played it, but I've never gotten to that part.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to spoil it. You know, close your ears if you're planning on playing it. You get to the end, and based on how much money you've accrued over the game, the final boss slash magic genie, which is just completely non sequitur with the rest of the game, but the final boss will give you a house based on how much money you have.
I think that's called buying a house.
Yeah, but you know it gets nicer the more money you had. And so my brothers and I first realized this when we, I think, you know, my brother finished the game first and he got one house, and then I finished the game next and I got a different house, and we figured out the difference was how much money we made.
Right.
So the next time we played through and just spent an ungodly amount of time just going back through levels and getting money, mm-hmm. and I think we maxed it out to where we got we had like. I think it was probably like either 999999, you know, 900,000 level or 99999, you know, million level. I don't know.
So you've always been this way.
Yeah, basically. but what's funny is when you get to the end, it does like a little thing counting up your money. And it was so long when we did that we literally plugged in our Game Boy, set it down, went away, had lunch, came back and checked on it. No, still got. It took like a half hour for it to get through. And we got this gigantic mansion with castles and in the sky and
spires.
It was total payoff that we probably could have gotten for one tenth the effort. But damn it, we're not gonna put in the effort and fall short.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Do you guys mind if I do my final boss? Or end
Please,
boss
sure.
rather? Today, November 20th, not only my birthday, but also the release of the fifth episode of Walking Dead. The Telltale game for the PC and like every, you know, other handheld consoles, at least iOS. I'm really going to say like go and get it. If you haven't jumped on that train just yet, playing through it all, you know, in one go will be like emotionally torturous, I think. So like if you did like, you know, one episode a week or, you know, you did an episode, waited a day, did another episode, it'd be a way to go. I say this only because in reflecting on this, as we get towards the end of the year, like for me, the game of the year discussion will be moot because this like hands down takes it. And for like $25, you can't ask for more like, just value and holy shit and gut punch moments, into a game. It's basically, tailor made for me and other people like me. And I say that not only because I'm selfish, but you know, just by way of saying, I really recommend it. You know, $25. I think you can buy each episode individually on iOS after you buy the first one. It works out to be about $25. I'd recommend playing it on a bigger screen. It's also on like PSN and Xbox 360. They're doing Steam. A really good job on Steam. Yeah, there we go. That's how I'm playing it. It works on Mac too. So get on it, especially here as we end the month. I'm sure there will be a good deal on it on Steam because they're really pushing to get it out there. So it's all going to be out, and that is my weekend project. So by the time we talk next, I will have played it, and I will at least speak to the series as a whole without spoiling anything, hopefully.
Yeah.
A zombie game that's not about zombies.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, zombies are just a plot contrivance, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. I just, if you thought Cole was cryptic at points during this episode, just wait until he tries to talk about a story-based game without spoiling anything.
There are some amazing things that it does that are like related to the mechanics of the story that you can talk about without saying anything about what actually happens. So, you know.
We'll find out, I guess.
Yes, we will. Anybody else have a final boss they want to get to?
I'll be totally honest. I completely forget what's the final boss.
Just final thoughts, you know.
What you been thinking?
Yeah.
I am completely screwed because it's been my tradition, not counting last year when I boycotted Modern Warfare 3, to buy a new Call of Duty game over the Thanksgiving thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now with PlanetSide coming out, and I was hoping to pick up either XCOM or Assassin's Creed on the cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever else Steam cons me into giving them money for.
Provides value. It's not a con.
Right.
Yeah,
brace yourself.
So much. It's drinking from the fire hose around this time of year, you know? Like the game, like all the games that are going to be out are out, but like the ones that came out that we passed over, they're dropping in price, and it's like I need to get them. I'm going to play them eventually, I hope. So
it's that girl that you ignored freshman and sophomore year, but then she took off her glasses, got contacts, did her hair different, and
yeah, she
holy crap.
She's all that.
And cost $20 cheaper.
Well, I didn't want to take it that direction.
I guess last dance. What are you gonna do? No, I feel your pain, David. I feel your pain. Just get Walking Dead. That's all that matters. Ben,
I have no final bosses. Okay. I have Assassin's Creed 3 to play, and that's about it.
Yes. The credits. Okay, so time for the credits. Let's just go through this real quick. It's been kind of a long episode, as we do. At least it seems long. It was my birthday when we started, then it wasn't my birthday. That was weird.
You've really grown here in this episode.
Still your birthday in Alabama.
Oh, this is true, yeah. Which is where I was born. Never told that to y'all, did I? No, I was born right here. Don't worry.
Okay. It's going to be like, whoa, man.
No. So a little bit of a housekeeping note. I'm aware that the show isn't on iTunes yet. I'm trying to get that worked out, but I submitted it, didn't hear anything. We'll get that figured out to a certain extent. I'll petition, I'll file, all that kind of stuff. Should be available, but it's still available via RSS or direct download, all of that there. Once it gets up, it'll be really cool if you could do the rating or review thing, especially in the first month. It's really important to get those so we can get on new and noteworthy. But that kind of stuff aside, we didn't have a multiplayer this week because I didn't put up a conversation prompt. Whoops. But anyway, keep an eye on the Facebook group. That is facebook.com/thelevelpodcast, or you can just write in your thoughts, write in questions for us to address, about games, about industry, about life, about technology. We'll answer them. Don't worry. That is, thelevel@duckfeed.tv or duckfeed.tv/contact, is how you can get a hold of us there. In general, other than that, tell your friends and use the, amazon.com/tipjar. Amazon.com. Use duckfeed.tv/tipjar. There's an Amazon link there where you can click through and we get a little kickback from everything that you buy. That is especially important around the holidays. You're going to be buying stuff online because you're a human who exists on the planet Earth. That helps support the network. This is like a little bit of an admin/lifting the kimono kind of thing. But this is the first month that the network has roundly turned a profit. Like October was like we broke even a little bit. Not October, September rather. And this one, like we're like able to like afford to buy ads and stuff like that now. So that is all thanks to you guys using those links and you know, visiting the sponsors on other shows. We're going to try and get the sponsor on here too. So yeah, that is that is tremendous. But really, just listening is enough. Tooting at us, all of that. You know, that's enough whoring. Thank you.
And so, we will use that well. You can bet that there will be the most kick ass ads ever.
Yes, hookers and blow too. So
we're gonna have a huge cocaine party.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy a hooker made of cocaine. So.
It's like a pony made of diamonds.
Exactly.
Borderlands 2 reference? Borderlands 2? Anyone?
Ben would get it. He's beaten it like 4 times. So anyway, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Cole Ross, KOLERoss.
I'm at DFuria, DFURIA.
I'm at MoneySmith, 777.
And I'm at Merkleizer.
You're about due for your toot. For those of you who are just tuning into this show, Ben only toots about once every 6 months. So,
yeah,
it's
about to be that special time of
that
the year.
Special time. Oh man, I am so excited for that. But in the meantime, while we're waiting for next week's episode, and while we're waiting for Ben's toot and all of those things, I will say, I hope you're having a fantastic and safe Thanksgiving. Don't get trampled. Buy stuff on Amazon. Do all that good stuff if you're going to be doing anything. So this has been Cole Ross.
This has been Dennis Furia.
This has been David MoneySmith.
And Ben Merkel.
And thanks so much. So, guys, what you been grinding on?
Sick grind.
You know, some hot chicks, whatever.
Whatevs.
I went to some middle school dances last week.
Oh, you went and made it weird.
Hey, I did that last time, so it's Ben's turn.
You know, we'll take
middle
turns.
Middle school dances?
We will take turns making it weird.
Else do people grind on? Well, I guess, I don't know.
High school dances. You know, college house parties, sad Christmas parties at offices.
Man, yeah,
awesome Christmas parties, depending on you know what perspective you're bringing.
Janice wears those corduroy pants. Boy,
she owns it.
she's
a
champ. So anyway.
I think for making it awkward, Ben should go first.
Yes.
All right.